Hello and welcome to week four of Teal Time with David Teal. I'm Jonathan Heater.
And I'm David Teal. And Jonathan, by the way, people, is doing yeoman's duty because by the time you listen to this, the young man is on his honeymoon. But thank goodness he married a former sports writer, and bless Jane's heart, she's not going to kill you for finding some time to edit this craziness and post it online.
Isn't technology a wonderful thing?
Maybe.
When you listen to this, I will be somewhere in Yellowstone National Park.
Good for you.
So you're going to talk this week to Dave Johnson, DJ, here at Daily Press about ODU North Carolina. Big game for the Monarchs.
Start of back-to-back ACC opponents for ODU, North Carolina at home, and then the following week at Virginia Tech. Certainly the most challenging two-week stretch that program has faced since upgrading from FCS to FBS.
It'd be a nice home gate for Coach Wilder.
They sell out regardless, but the demand for that ticket, because there are a lot of Tar Heels in Hampton Roads and always have been.
I see the bumper stickers. All right, so you're going to talk to Dave about ODU North Carolina, maybe chat with him a little bit about looking ahead at what ODU will see next week or the week after in Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech now will be two games into the Josh Jackson era. And then I'll be back next week.
We hope,
unless I find Wyoming delightful and stay out there.
I wouldn't blame you.
I'm sure I will find it delightful, but I will believe I will venture back. As a newlywed, I will need to continue to pay bills.
More than you ever dreamed, my friend. This week with our esteemed producer, Jonathan Heater, he had the gall to go on a honeymoon after his wedding on Saturday.
In the middle of football season.
I know. Can you believe it? And that other voice you're hearing is my colleague, Dave Johnson. And we're going to regale you with chatter about Old Dominion, North Carolina, and Virginia Tech, East Carolina, and then even look ahead a little bit to Old Dominion's second consecutive Power 5 game when they go to Blacksburg on September 23rd. So, DJ, thanks for joining us. Old Dominion, North Carolina, you've seen the Monarchs. You saw their season opening win over Albany. Then Old Dominion came back and won at UMass 17-7 on Saturday. Just your general impressions of where Old Dominion stands right now and the fact that Bobby Wilder is playing two quarterbacks with Blake LaRussa and Jordan Hoy.
It's hard to gauge them at this point in a sense. They played an FCS team, a ranked FCS team.
Mm-hmm. CAA team, yeah.
And UMass, which is in a tough situation with the way they schedule and as an independent. So far, though, it their offense has not been very consistent, I guess you'd say. They ran the ball okay against UMass. The passing game really hasn't been very effective. And they won a game I haven't looked it up yet, but they don't win a lot. They have not won a lot of 17-7 games over the years.
Yeah.
They've won a lot of, 47-44 games over the years, but not 17-7. So I think their defense is better. They've certainly got a strong front line.
Yeah. 15 sacks in two games,
that's
right?
That's right. Leads the country. Eight against UMass on Saturday. Rotimi and Zimenez and so much good experienced players up there, and they have a lot of depth. So that I think that's the strongest point of the team is their defensive line.
And then they're nicked up on offense. Mm-hmm. We were over there talking with Bobby Wilder earlier, and Lowry they expect back from the hamstring, but Duhart's now lost for the season at wide receiver, and they are already thin there with Vaughn being done mm-hmm. for the year because he's a knee, is that right?
I think that's right.
Okay, and Duhart's going to have surgery this week. So it sounds to me like they're going to have to lean even more on the defensive side.
Most likely. It'll be interesting with Lowry, even if he does play, how how effective he'll be, especially against a Power 5 defense. Cox is certainly a very capable running back, would probably start at a lot of other places, but they are going to have to get a little bit more, they're going to have to get a lot more from their passing game. But as you said, with Duard out, with Vaughn already out, that is problematic. The defense certainly will have to keep them in the game, because they're not going to score 30 points, most likely.
Well, against North Carolina's defense, who knows? Now, granted, the Tar Heels are 0-2, but they've lost to Cal, and they've lost to Louisville, right, and Lamar Jackson. And as Bobby Wilder was saying earlier, he attributes all the Louisville thing to the Heisman Trophy winner.
Which is very fair.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a wild card. But through 2 weeks, I was looking up the numbers. North Carolina is 125th nationally in allowing plays of at least 20 yards. And they're I think Andrew Carter of the News and Observer down in Raleigh tweeted out a stat that in the fourth quarter of games, North Carolina opponents are averaging more than 9 yards per snap.
Ooh.
Well, yeah, which is a recipe for losing every time. North Carolina is the second Power 5 team to come and play at Old Dominion. NC State has been there previous. The Monarchs are 0-7 against the Power 5, 0-6 against the ACC, 0-1 against the SEC, having played Vanderbilt. What in your mind would be the significance of that first Power 5 win?
It wouldn't be bigger, or maybe it would be. I mean, you could almost compare it to winning the bowl game last year
against Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, winning a bowl game is obviously huge for the program, but beating a Power 5, you could argue, would be just, especially an ACC Power 5, right, which is very regional interest around here, you could argue would be just as big as winning that bowl game last year. I don't know if Bobby Wilder would agree or say so, but that would be a massive step for the program if they could beat Carolina.
Yeah. Well, and we better get accustomed to Old Dominion playing these games, because next week they go to Virginia Tech, and then they embark in future years on a long-term series with Virginia Tech. In one stretch from 2022 to 31, they play the Hokies 10 consecutive years.
Crazy, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, it's a great regional series. Selfishly, it's great for us. But I was looking at their future schedules. They play Virginia Tech and UVA in 19. In 20, they play Wake Forest, Carolina, and Virginia. And then they come back in 22 and play Virginia Tech and Virginia. And this is the way Bobby Wilder hopes to keep scheduling. He wants to play at least two ACC teams a year.
I wonder if they're going to be eligible for the Coastal Division championship at that point.
If they win the next two, I think they'll have a leg up on getting to Charlotte and playing in that ACC championship game. You mentioned the ACC Coastal and the fact that Old Dominion does go to Blacksburg next week. Some people may not know, you're a Virginia Tech graduate.
Indeed.
You grew up in Christiansburg, so obviously you are steeped in. How old were you when you first went to a Virginia Tech football game?
Wow, I think about 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember who it was against?
I want to say Memphis State.
Whoa.
Yeah, and they were actually called Memphis State in those days. So I'm almost positive that's right, and I swear, for some reason it's in my head that they lost 21-20. But I'd have to look that up.
Now,
was
that in the Sharp era? Or who was coaching the Hokies? Or was it Claiborne?
70, I think it might have still been Jerry Claiborne.
Wow.
Yeah. And then after Claiborne came Charlie Coffey. And with Don Strock when they threw every down.
Right.
And then came Jimmy Shark when they went from the pass happy to the wishbone.
Right.
A lot of transition here.
You paid attention to the game the Hokies opened with Sunday a week against West Virginia at FedEx Field. What were your impressions of your alma mater?
Well, I was extremely impressed with Josh Jackson.
Hard not to be.
Yeah, he came out early, missed a couple throws, but that was early. And, you know, it's his first game. You can attribute a lot of that to just being nervous in front of a huge crowd and big setting. And boy, did he just calm down quickly. And he really played an excellent game and just looked very poised. That third and 10 throw.
We were talking about that on the drive over here.
Right, third and 10 throw on the sideline.
To C.J. Carroll, I believe.
To C.J. Carroll.
Where he rolled out.
Yep. And just threw a dart that just the defender just dove and missed. I mean, that was an unbelievable throw by a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, for anybody really, yeah, but for especially anyone. For a kid in his first start exactly. on that kind of a stage.
And he just looked so poised. You know, the decisions that he made, the runs he made. Very impressed with him. If I were a Tech fan, I would certainly be a little concerned about their running game.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, other than Josh, they really haven't gotten much from anyone on a consistent basis. But defensively, I know they gave up a ton of points to West Virginia, but I thought they looked good.
Actually, only 24. When they gave up a ton of yards.
Right, ton of yards. I guess I should have put it in those terms. Ton of yards, and Will Geard looked fantastic.
Yeah.
They that was a big win for them, no question. They probably were a bit flat against Delaware. I didn't see the game, but
right.
I mean
to be expected, right?
Yeah, you know that going in.
Yeah.
And they never play well in those the different uniforms they always wear. So, but they got the win. You know, yeah. They've gone in pass situations and lost a week later mm-hmm. to your alma mater a few years ago, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
So.
And now they had two East Carolina this week. You talk about a team with defensive issues. We were mentioning North Carolina's struggles on that side of the ball. East Carolina's so bad defensively, they turfed their defensive coordinator yesterday in Kenwick Thompson, or reassigned him, which is a very generic description mm-hmm. there. I guess he'll still be collecting a paycheck somehow.
And for those of you who can't see us right now, David was doing the bunny ears thing with quote marks with reassigned.
Yeah, but when you give up 90 points in 2 weeks and you're 0-2, and West Virginia, I think wasn't the halftime score Saturday 49-3 in Morgantown,
mm-hmm.
East Carolina on the wrong end of that. The Pirates have given the Hokies fits in previous years, not last year. The Hokies hung half 100 plus. On them in Blacksburg. It's hard to imagine Virginia Tech not being 4-0 entering the or 3-0 entering the Old Dominion game.
Yeah, and then 4-0 going into Clemson.
4-0 going into Clemson. But yeah, East Carolina defensively. Here's another. If you start listening to us on a consistent basis, you'll realize I'm a numbers geek. But East Carolina is 129th out of 130 teams nationally, allowing 8.4 yards per play.
So you're saying they're not the worst?
No. there isn't. And I should have written down who's worse. And 616 yards a game.
And yeah, no wonder he was reassigned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Hokies. And if you're looking for a way to get the run game healthy, uh-huh. You would think Saturday is an ideal chance. The Old Dominion Virginia Tech game on the 23rd to me is fascinating just because it will be the first time in what is going to be many editions of what could become, I don't know if it'll become a rivalry or not, but it gets Tech when Tech comes to Old Dominion, back to the 757. Mm-hmm. They haven't played here since the old Oyster Bowl days when they played Temple and Paul Palmer.
I was there.
Were you really?
I was there. I was working at the...
What year was that, 86?
Yeah, I was...
Or no, it was 84 because it was... No, it was 86. It was Dooley's last year.
Yeah, I'm thinking... Yeah, and... Temple won that game, but
and had to forfeit
because of Paul Palmer.
Yes.
Of the eligibility issue.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I was at that game, the Oyster Bowl. I
believe. At Forman Field.
Yes, it was. I was the sports editor of the Collegiate Times in those days.
Wow.
And that was, so yeah, this will be their first trip to the 757 since then.
Yeah. And that season, you know, Dooley's last, they ended up winning the Peach Bowl. Were
yes,
you at the did. Were you at the Peach Bowl against NC State when Kinzer made the kick?
I was there.
Wow. That's cool. That's got to be pretty neat experience for a collegiate journalist. I presume that was your first bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, was I there?
Sure, you had to have been
now,
there.
Now I'm getting confused. This is so long. This is way too long ago for my memory.
Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, right?
Yes, it was. Chris Kinzer, field goal at the horn.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that Old Dominion is a 7.5-point underdog at home to North Carolina. You have to think that next week they'll be even significantly larger underdogs.
Yeah.
Against Virginia Tech, as I don't know, Old Dominion is not one dimensional offensively, but they're close to it. They're so reliant on the run. Bud Foster's defense, if you're not multi dimensional, it's hard to think you're going to get much business done. And then you talk about defenses. As good as Virginia Tech's was, or has been over the years, and was Saturday against an FCS in Delaware, when the Hokies hook up against Clemson on the 30th, folks, Clemson's defense. I don't know how much of the Auburn game you saw the other night on ESPN, but Clemson had 11 sacks.
11,
and limited Auburn. I wrote it down here to 117 yards on 66 plays. Yeah. And Auburn got 69 of those yards on their first drive. Drive down 69 yards and 15 plays, kick a field goal. So on their next 51 plays, they gained 48 yards.
Yeah. From basically 3 3/4 of a quarter of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wow. Yeah. I mean, and the Tigers keep losing guys to the NFL draft on defense.
And just keep restocking.
And just keep reloading. I mean, yeah. Dabo Swinney's program, I mean, he has become elite. He's an elite recruiter. He's an elite coach. We're kind of projecting here and getting way out over our skis, as they say, looking out a couple weeks. But you've been to many a big game in Blacksburg. I've been to many a big game in Blacksburg. But Virginia Tech, Clemson, I think maybe College Game Day will consider coming there. I think it could very well be a night game. It would just be a fabulous atmosphere. Here's another kind of old Virginia Tech question for you. When's the last time you covered a game at Lane Stadium? Now you're going to tell Phoebus. me it was Phoebus High and Taj Boyd, right?
Last time I covered Virginia, well, it would have been when I was on the UVA beat, so that would have been 2004.
Okay.
Well, or 3. I can't remember which year whichever was home that year.
Well, let's see. This is 2017, so it would have been an odd year. No, it would have been an even year. The game would have been in Blacksburg.
So 4 then, yeah. And I'm sure Tech won.
But you mentioned the last time you covered a game at Lane was that Taj Boyd's last game at Phoebus High School?
Yep. It was, the 2008 state championship. And it was them versus, my memory, I want to say Dinwiddie, but I'm probably wrong.
But they won, right?
Or was it Stonebridge? No, they beat Stonebridge in the semifinals. They won, yes. I'm pretty sure it was Dinwiddie that they played.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny, you mentioned the Clemson game. I was talking to my nephew this weekend, who's a student at Virginia Tech now, and he was talking about how, you know, the students have to pay for tickets there. And he was talking about, already people are talking about, like, over hundreds of dollars that those student tickets are going to, that people are selling them for.
Really?
Yeah. So he's saying it's already, people are just going crazy about that prospect.
Well, and the hype will be off the charts if Clemson survives this week against Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about, you know, irresistible force meets immovable object.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson and that offense against that defense. And, hey, Clemson was really stout last year on defense. And Lamar Jackson went in the Death Valley and hung 36 on them. And that's a 42-36 game late. And Louisville is knocking on the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Lamar, this was like a – and we're inside the final minute. And it's 4th and 11 or 4th and 12. And Lamar Jackson throws an out to this kid. And maybe he thought he already had the first down. But he kind of almost gingerly stepped out of bounds. He's a yard shy of the marker. It's 4th down, turns it over. And that allows Clemson to survive. But now, you know, this week the game's at Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the Florida State Miami game being postponed because of Irma, Louisville Clemson moves to 8 o'clock. So it's prime time. College game day is going there. It's the game of the week.
Absolutely.
By far, I think we'll both have that on getting that DVR'd, so you can go back and watch it. I'm a big Dabo guy.
Oh yeah. How can you not be?
Yeah, I mean, he's just he seems so genuine, and I think he's underestimated as a coach. He's got this larger than life personality, and people see the on the field interviews after big wins.
How about my freaking quarterback?
Yeah, or I forget which game it was. Was it after the Notre Dame game a couple years ago where it was bring your own guts?
Yeah.
You know, BYOG became
this. I know, because he's must-see TV on those interviews.
Oh, he is, because he's so wired. But I actually think it's genuine. I don't think it's affected.
No, no question.
And so
he's just a very enthusiastic guy.
Yeah, and I'm a sucker for that stuff. I'm a big fan of his. And as we mentioned, Brent Venables is defensive coordinator. Athletic directors love to hire offensive coordinators as head coaches, and I get it. Offense sells, and you're trying to win the press conference and goose the season ticket sales up. But if I'm looking for it, at some point, somebody's got to tap Brent Venables on the shoulder and say,
sure,
"Dude, what you're doing at Clemson is amazing," and you know. Louisville's issue, especially late last season, was protecting Lamar Jackson. And they're going to have to figure out a way on Saturday to protect him. Because if they don't, you know, the Tigers will get after him. I kind of like Clemson.
I would say so, too. Just as you said, the defense is just so good.
I think they're so suffocating. And selfishly, I'd like for Clemson to be undefeated coming to Blacksburg.
Absolutely.
Because that just kind of gooses up the hype and the excitement and, hey, means more clicks and people.
We get to stay employed.
Yeah, yes, and that's always a good thing. You have kids. I have a kid. we have mouths to feed and new shoes to buy. So that's always a good thing. Kind of getting back to Old Dominion in North Carolina, it'll be interesting because Old Dominion is playing two quarterbacks, and now North Carolina is kind of in the same boat. I was watching the first half Saturday. I was in the press box waiting for Indiana UVA, and Virginia fans will be grateful that we don't talk much about that because
Not good.
No, the Cavaliers were terrible, and the Hoosiers win 34-17, and Virginia's offense, and especially the offensive line, is just as poor as it was a year ago.
Well, I believe the headline in our paper was UVA inept in all phases, so I think that sums it up.
Yeah, I think I might have written that one,
too.
Well,
there you go.
I think that was the one I wrote for online, and maybe the editors
liked it so much
they put it in print, too. But Here you thought that, you know, the redshirt freshman Chaz Surratt goes in there in the first half and he's playing great, and Carolina's competing with Louisville and kind of going back and forth with Lamar Jackson. But then he dings his right hip on a play, and I guess in reading some things, it kind of got worse and worse. And he spent the second half on an exercise bike on the sideline, and Carolina went strictly with Brandon Harris, the graduate transfer from LSU, who had played rather poorly in the starting role against Cal. But he played well in the second half against Louisville. So again, in talking with Bobby Wilder, the Old Dominion coach, he anticipates the Tar Heels using two quarterbacks on Saturday in Surratt and Harris. So there's another kind of test for Old Dominion's defense, because they're going to have to, you know, adjust to the different things that those two quarterbacks bring. Carolina, I think we mentioned earlier, 7.5-point favorite. I don't think Old Dominion is going to win, but no. I think Old Dominion has a chance to give them a heck of a game. If the Monarchs were healthy, I might kind of hedge that way.
And if this was a year ago, well, with Old Dominion's team a year ago,
yeah,
David Washington at quarterback and Zach Pascal at receiver, and you know, and some in the and Ricks and Wilson at linebacker. That'd be interesting. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, and a healthy Duhard.
Right. But, Jenny, you're talking about the two quarterbacks and both teams using them. I find it interesting because I'm not a football coach, obviously. But I've heard a lot of coaches, including Bobby Wilder today, saying he wants that one quarterback. And again, I'm not a coach, but I would love to have a two-quarterback system if they give you two different things. Mm-hmm. To me, that makes it a lot more difficult for a defensive coordinator to know what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, and who's going to start, when's so-and-so coming in. So in a way, that can work well, but again, I appear to be in the minority on that, because a lot of coaches just want that one guy who will lead the team and everybody's familiar with and so forth.
Well, I think, DJ, it hinges on who those two guys are, because at the risk of sounding like a coach, they had better be unselfish and not be worried about their reps.
Right, because it can divide a team, certainly.
Right, and those two quarterbacks have to be flexible enough where they're not so dependent on rhythm, where they get into a rhythm and then they get taken out, and that messes them up. And, you know, they miss a series or two, and they kind of lose that mojo, so to speak. I go back to the Virginia Tech years, where it was Tyrod Taylor and Sean Glennon, and sometimes you were scratching your head going, okay, well, what are they thinking? Why are they making the change? But, you know, they made it work. And I think in successive ACC championship games, I think Glennon was the MVP of one, and then the next year, Tyrod was the MVP of the ACC championship game. So those two guys, and I know they wanted their snaps, but they somehow made it work.
And I'm not at all suggesting you should do it. Yeah. I mean, like, Tyrod emerged as the guy, and you play him every down, absolutely. Yes. You've got Aaron Rodgers, you play him every down. But if you've got a situation where you have two guys who are bringing you different things, who both can accept their roles and the rest of the team can deal with that and handle that, I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily.
Yeah. I know you've got a story planned for later this week, maybe for Saturday's paper, advancing Old Dominion, North Carolina. I'll say two numbers and I'll let you go from there. 80-20.
For those of you who don't remember, that was the score of the Old Dominion went to North Carolina in 2013 and lost 80-20. And it was probably only that close because Bobby Wilder approached Larry Fedora and asked the officials also, can we shorten the quarter to 15 minutes?
You mean play a running clock?
Excuse me. What did I just say?
You said shorten the quarter.
Shorten the clock to 10 minutes.
Okay.
That's what I meant to say. Sorry, my brain's not working. and which Fedora agreed to do, and very graciously. And he took a knee there at the end of the game when they could have punched it in. I mean, if he wanted to, he could have scored 100 that day. But that was a big difference in the two programs. And certainly Carolina is still a much more stronger program than Old Dominion. It's got the tradition. It's a Power Five and all that. But certainly the gap between those two programs is not what it was in 2013.
No, not at all. And Bobby Wilder was telling us, number one, how appreciative he was about how Fedora handled that. And not only that, and I had forgotten this, he said five guys came out of that game needing surgery.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. I wasn't on the beat then, but I didn't. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so that was really a punishing game. And I thought it was also interesting. I asked Wilder, because Old Dominion started as an FCS program,
mm-hmm.
So when the FCS is playing the bowl subdivision, the obvious difference is, okay, 85 scholarships versus 63. That's huge. So I asked Wilder today, now that you're part of the group of five, and you are FBS, but you're playing up in class, so to speak, against the Power Five,
mm-hmm.
What's the biggest difference between those programs? And his immediate response, it's not speed, it's not quickness, it's size and strength on the offensive and defensive lines.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you'll see that Saturday.
Well, and especially, it sounds like in talking to you, I haven't seen Old Dominion play yet this season. Number one, they're banged up on the offensive line. I know Hendricks is nixed. And it just from listening to Bobby, they're not playing very well up front.
No, they're not. Offensively.
Yes.
And the running game has, I mean, they did better the other day against UMass, but their running game has not had a lot of continuity to it. Of course, Lowry's been out. That doesn't help. But you're right. There's going to be their offensive line against Carolina's defensive line will be a very interesting battle there.
So it sounds like we agree. We both expect Carolina to win a fairly competitive game on Saturday. Virginia Tech, East Carolina is not going to be competitive, and we both can't wait to come home on Saturday night and crack a beverage and watch Louisville and Clemson.
Yes, we agree on that. I just hope I make it home in time to see at least some of the first half, but with a 3:30 kick, that might be a problem.
Yeah, and certainly all the second half. And I look forward to next week. We'll have you, me, and Comrade Wood in the press box. We will be triple teaming Old Dominion, Virginia Tech, and looking forward to that. Thanks, everybody, for giving us a listen. And we will see you next week for episode 5, maybe. Hey, if they're bringing us back for a 5th episode, maybe we're doing something.
Have we been renewed?
Maybe.
Good.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.